You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer for The Step Back and Miami Heat Tip-Off Mag, and the former editor of AllYouCanHeat.com. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Rommel, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the NBA at large for FanSided and FanRag Sports. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRommel13.
Tony Fiorentino said something during the broadcast that I agree with, actually, that Bam Adebayo doesn't look like a rookie. He had a great game in the Heat's 107-82 win over the Grizzlies on Monday night. We're going to get to your Twitter comments and our spotlight players later on in the show, but I want to start there, David, with Bam Adebayo. Bam had 23 minutes, he had 14 points on 5 of 6 shooting. He was a plus 10 for the game. He came in early in the game because Kelly Olynyk got into early foul trouble, and so Bam was really, even though Kelly Olynyk started, Bam was the guy for most of the game in the middle, and that's a tall task when he has to play guys like Marcus Gasol in the middle. And he was extremely impressed. Tony's right. He did not look like a rookie. He didn't make many mistakes at all. He was all over the court defensively. He was just doing the right things offensively. He set great screens. He was always in the right place on the pick and roll. It wasn't his biggest stat line in the box score, but this was easily the most impressed I've been with him, and I've been very impressed with him so far.
I think you made the comparison before that he's a taller Justice Winslow, you know, the way he defends an opposing player. And I think what Fiorentino was getting at is how well he does move defensively. Like, not only does he use his superior strength, I can't get past how other players around the league are starting to notice just how strong Adebayo is. Even in limited playing time, he hasn't put up the kind of big gaudy numbers that Jason Tatum or Donovan Mitchell has. But as a rookie, he's making an impression around the league. Like, bigs around the league are starting to recognize that Adebayo is a real force to be dealt with. He's able to do things offensively, physically, defensively, you know, just the way he does, the way he moves and controls his body far beyond his 20 years. And I think particularly against a big as skilled as Gasol, not the quickest guy, but certainly a very skilled passer and a very skilled scorer, who can flash to the outside, shoot from the perimeter, do all sorts of things. Adebayo really held him in check. Gasol was limited to just 19 points. That sounds like a big number, but he did, he finished with that total on 5 of 14 shooting, 7 of 10 from the line. So most of his scoring really did come from the free throw line. And Adebayo just so impressive, the way he was able to switch on to smaller ball handlers when they kicked out to the perimeter on a screen and roll. He's not a mismatch the way Whiteside is. Did he have a couple blocks? Yeah, he did have a couple blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And two steals.
Not the same kind of stuff as Whiteside. He's not waiting there near the rim. He goes out there. He elevates when he's guarding a guy like Gasol. He did it against LaMarcus Aldridge a couple games ago. Like, he just stays with him. He kind of keeps his body pressed nice and tight on a score. You know, puts his hands up there, uses his superior strength. Like I said, it's just, we're starting to see flashes of him being potentially great, to be honest with you. I mean, for all that we heard early in the season about how he might struggle, why he wasn't getting playing time, you and I had always preached patience. It looks like it's paying off. We thought that the Heat coaching staff was kind of molding him, teaching him, making sure they bide their time, and it's paid off. I think huge dividends for the team and for Adebayo both.
He's a young Amari Stoudemire. You know, he is like the Heat's Amari Stoudemire. You remember a few years ago when the Heat had Stoudemire and Whiteside? And yep. There was a period there in the second half of the season where they started Amari Stoudemire after a Whiteside injury. They started Stoudemire and Whiteside came off the bench, and it kind of provided this thing for the offense because Stoudemire was just setting much better screens. He was filling in the lane where he had to be. He was just taking what the offense gave him and what the defense gave him. You know, he wasn't demanding the ball, and he was just playing good defense. And that's what Bam is doing here, but he's playing even better defense than Amari Stoudemire ever probably could have played.
Yeah, and for sure.
But offensively, and we'll talk about Bam's offense here in a little bit, but he is playing that same sort of role. It's not, he's not putting up the gaudy stat lines that somebody like Hassan Whiteside does, but he is allowing other guys to play off of him. You know, guy, yes. Like there was a point that Justice Winslow had a three-pointer from the corner, and I believe it was Deion Waiters who assisted on it, or Josh Richardson, or it was Waiters, and and you know, you give credit to the ball handler who's driving and kicking, but don't forget that Bam Adebayo set that screen and rolled to the rim hard. And this was later, and this was in the second half of the game when Winslow drained that three, and the defense at that point, Bam had already made a few shots at the rim. The defense closes really hard on Bam Adebayo, and that gives Winslow just a little bit more space to get that shot off that he makes. And those are the kind of the things, that's kind of the spacing, the vertical spacing that we talk about, that he impacts. And as that game went on, I started to notice that the Memphis Grizzlies did do that. They played the lanes on the roll a little bit more aggressively as that game went on, and that opened up things for other guys in the game. We're going to get to your Twitter questions next, but first, Locked On Heat still has inventory for sponsorships this season. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. Say you own a sports bar or a sports memorabilia store. Maybe you're a real estate agent or you're a contractor in the area, and you're unhappy with traditional advertising online or in print. Know that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with advertisers. Locked On Heat listeners are generally male, about 96%, and between the ages of 18 and 45. Our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and money. For more information on rates and next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company right here on the show.
I'm glad you brought up those screens, because I think they're just such an important part of the offense that we've seen over the last couple of games, where things just seem much more fluid. Again, you're playing a debilitated Memphis team that struggled this year. You got a good win against Brooklyn and Mexico. Maybe those aren't necessarily indicative of how you'd play against the upper echelon teams in the league, but still seeing fluidity that we didn't always see when Whiteside was in the lineup. Again, I know we've become, you know, we've had a little bit of a reputation for knocking Whiteside, but when it comes to screen setting, Adebayo is just so much better at it. Like, I think you can tell for the casual listener, the number of lobs that they're tossing at Adebayo, that's not because he's more athletic than Whiteside. He might have a better vertical leap than Whiteside at this point, but because of Whiteside's overall length and his you know, the length of his arms, you know, I'm sure he's much more apt to catch lobs if they toss at him. They just don't have that kind of timing with him because his screen setting is so poor in comparison to Adebayo. He creates even a split second. It makes all the difference in the world. You started talking about it, and it really does. It makes a huge difference. You know, it frees up an opportunity for Dragic or Tyler Johnson or Josh Richardson or any ball handler to just take an extra little sidestep as they're curling around that screen, and then all of a sudden shift gears and get into position where they can drive to the rim with much more space. It's just, it makes such a difference in the offense. It looks so much more fluid. Again, maybe we won't see this against the top teams, but for now, I think this is just a much better version of the offense than when Whiteside is in there.
And that sort of gets into our next into our Twitter comment here from Greg. He says, "Man, I wish Spo would let Bam loose on offense. Perfect spot to see him face up jumper or drive past those slower bigs. He draws so many fouls." And you know, this is, you and I, you mentioned earlier that we preached patience just to get Bam on the floor. We're preaching patience here again, guys. Absolutely. You don't want, because you know what? Those are the things that we see that from Whiteside already. We see Whiteside hijacking an offensive possession and just throwing up an 18-footer. I think Bam Adebayo has a more natural skill set to do that. Yes. I even think Whiteside has a natural shooting touch. That's there. I think Bam's overall skill set, the things that he showed in summer league, and that's why people are sending us things like this, is because he did show a step back jumper. He's shown a step back jumper in the regular season at one point. He's got it in his repertoire, but it's not something he needs to go to, and I'm happy with that because he's picking and choosing his places where he can be effective. Because you know who I'd rather have taking an 18-foot jumper on the Heat rather than Bam Adebayo? Basically everybody else.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Any ball handler, anybody on the team other than Adebayo. I mean, it's he does look a little apprehensive. There were moments, I think, early on when he first came in for Olynyk after he picked up his second foul. I think there was a moment there where I can't recall exactly how the play unfolded, but he had the ball on the wing, had plenty of time. You know, a defender kind of gave him all this space, and he didn't really take advantage of it. And then somebody had to cut back, take the ball off his hands, and then kind of restart the offense. So there are moments when it could bog the team down. But overall, I don't think we want him rushing into that, because then that kind of leads to other things. If he's knocking those shots down, it's great. But I don't know if it's necessarily a reliable part of his game yet, where we can count on him to nail those jumpers or to create offensive opportunities for himself or for others.
The way that you do that is the same way Minnesota does it for Karl Anthony Towns, or the Philadelphia 76ers do it for Joel Embiid, or the way the Miami Heat do it for Kelly Olynyk. It's part of the offense. You put him in a pick-and-pop situation as opposed to a pick-and-roll situation. I bet that's coming. I don't know how far it is. I don't know if it's this season or next season.
I don't,
It's coming.
Yeah, probably not. Exactly.
It's coming at some point, and it might not be a three-pointer, but maybe you do a short pick and roll and you give him a long-range two, maybe from the free throw line. And it would be similar to how Kelly Olynyk does, like, the fake dribble handoff and then rolls to the hard to the rim and dunks. It happens maybe once every other game, and you get Bam to start doing that just to even if he misses the shot, just to keep the defense, off balance, keep them honest. And that's where I think that comes from. We don't need him just instead of passing or continuing along in the offensive possession to just jack up a shot and create his own offense. We don't need that.
Did you see, I think it was off of a rebound or maybe a block shot, to be honest with you. I can't remember right now. But he wound up, the shot kind of caromed off and then kind of went in towards the baseline. It was going out of bounds, and he had to kind of corral it. A defender came and kind of get on his face. And then he had to handle the ball just for, like, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds. He's got a really nice dribble.
Yes.
Like, we've seen this in brief moments. We saw it in the summer league. But, man, he's got a nice handle for a guy his size.
Against
this is
going to
be a potent part. Yeah, it's going to be a part of the offense, I think.
Yeah, against Brooklyn, he did something very similar.
I don't remember the Brooklyn one as much. But
he kind of got knocked over a little bit, and instead of just holding the ball, he sort of, like, dribbled it a little bit. Yeah. And it was just a good feel for the game. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys would get knocked over, try to get their balance and stop dribbling the ball. And then he was back court. It was off of a rebound, so you had to get it to the other side of the court, right? You get it past half court. And they'd start just immediately putting the ball over their head and looking for a guard to give it to. But he just kind of kept his dribble and kept it going and kind of found a guard in the flow of the game. He's got a tremendous feel for the game. And going back to – he doesn't look like a rookie. I mean, this guy – look, I don't want to jump the gun here, but he's ready. Like, he's ready to be a major part of this Heat team, not only when Whiteside is injured. Like, this Bam Adebayo is playing way better than I think anybody expected right now, and he's been doing it for several games in a row. He's been doing it against some of the best competition. He's doing so much defensively. Like, we talk about all the time about what Whiteside allows Miami to do defensively, and right now I still think Miami's defense is better with Whiteside in the middle, because they just don't give up any points at the rim when he's in there. But I think potentially they could be better with Bam, just because of what he allows everybody else to do. And all the switching that can happen there. It's tremendous. So I'm ready to see more Bam Adebayo.
It's tricky, right? Because, of course, the next logical progression is, what happens when Whiteside eventually makes his return? How do you try and sandwich that in? I'm sure this is something going through a lot of our listeners' minds, whether or not you start considering a potential trade for either Whiteside, maybe try to move Olynyk. I mean, there's a lot of different options there. It's tough, right? I mean, I don't know how you can try and find enough playing time for all three. You've got Adebayo under contract at least for another 3 years. You've got everybody else there locked in there for longer-term deals. I mean, it's an interesting problem to have, right? I mean, a good problem, I think, for school and Spolster's opinion, having all this depth there in the front court. So it's I'm curious to see how it all shakes up.
It's got to be going through the front office's mind too.
Absolutely.
We're gonna key in on a couple of our standout performances next, outside of Bam Adebayo, obviously. But first, quick reminder to make sure that you're subscribed to the Locked On Heat channel on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And to leave us a review on iTunes. Helps other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team. You might want to hear Locked On Dolphins after this Monday night game, right? The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, David, let's get into our spotlight players of the game. I'll let you start. Who's yours?
Well, it was Tyler Johnson after a strong showing in Mexico City and a nice stretch of games. Kind of continued that trend, had a really efficient game. Finished with 14 points on 5 of 10 shooting, went 4 of 7 from three-point range, had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 block shots, 3 turnovers, unfortunately. Most importantly about his points is that he had those in the fourth quarter. All 14 of his points coming in the fourth. I didn't even realize it, to be honest with you, until we looked into that later on. You pointed it out to me, and you were absolutely right. All 14 of his points in the fourth quarter. I think that kind of created the cushion that Miami needed. Yes. Look, Memphis may not be a necessarily a very good team, but they play their, you know, inimitable style of grit and grind. This game was a slug for most of the first half. Very low scoring. I think Tony Fiorentino pointed out they are the lowest scoring team in the NBA. Not a lot of offense there, especially with Mike Conley out due to injury and everything else that's gone on over the course of the season. But Miami was able to find a way to kind of rise above it. And Tyler, I think, created that space. You know, when he started getting going in the fourth quarter, teammates started finding him open on the wing. And he really did a nice job of knocking down those three-pointers. So again, 4 of 7, that's pretty good shooting. And I think we're starting to see him return to some of that consistency that we had hoped for earlier in the season.
And just doing things like finding guys on with assists. I mean, he only had one assist tonight, but he's keeping the ball moving. He's contributing to the drive and kick game. He's been really good, not only in this game, but lately. I mean, 14 points against Memphis, 20 points the game before against Brooklyn, 25 points against San Antonio, 13 against Golden State, 12 against Charlotte, 13 against the Knicks. Those are his last 6 games. Tyler Johnson, who kind of started the season in a long slump, really starting to show out a little bit here. Really impressed with him against Memphis and just lately in general. He's been huge for the Heat.
And nice defense, too. I mean, nice defense. smaller version of Josh Richardson. You know, he's just equally disruptive, I suppose. Or at least he makes the effort of being equally disruptive. He gets some really nice chase down blocks, or if you can come in off.
Zach Lowe pointed it out. Like, he goes up high at the highest point of attack. He had two blocks against Memphis. I mean, that's not the first time he's had 2 blocks in a game. He had 2 blocks against Chicago just a few nights late in November. I mean, it's crazy. I like that comparison. He's a smaller version of Josh Richardson. I like that.
Yeah.
That's my spotlight player is Josh Richardson.
Perfect segue.
I think you were trying to set me up there. I didn't catch. So Josh Richardson, not only because of his box score is he my spotlight, but just there's individual plays that just jumped off the screen for me, for Josh Richardson. I'll go through his box score. 17 points on 5 of 9 shooting, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He had a block. He was really good, really good. He was the second highest scorer on the team behind Goran Dragic. He's really found a rhythm, just like Tyler has lately. And there was just a few plays in that game. I mean, he is so much better now than he was even last season or his rookie year. And I know we give a lot of attention to his rookie year because of that three-point, like leading the league in three-point shooting for the second half, which is just a stat that only Heat fans know, and it's really irrelevant. But he is so much better now, not only defensively, because not only does he just bother opposing guards, he is able to switch onto any other position, which is why the Heat are playing him at the 3, even though he's probably a natural 2 and played point guard in college. They're playing him at the 3. There was a point where he fronted Marc Gasol in the post on a switch, ended up forcing a jump ball situation out of it. I mean, you can't ask for more than that. And he had a block on Tyreek Evans on a baseline cut in the third quarter when the game was tied at 45. And those are the kind of plays that can kind of spur on what eventually turned into the Heat just dominating the second half. Those are the things that just kind of like decimate, you know, Memphis's will to want to be playing. And then offensively, he had a scoop layup that was really nice. So he's showing like a different repertoire of moves offensively. And then there's the one play that I really wanted to get to. In the second quarter, Goran Dragic starts with the ball in the left corner, drives baseline towards the rim, and Josh Richardson does the Dwayne Wade cut, perfectly timed. Nobody's in front of him. Nobody's looking at it. And he just comes in from the opposite elbow from where Dragic started and gets a just a clean, easy dunk at the rim. Those are the things. Those are the things that contribute to the winning basketball that Eric Spoelstra likes to talk about. I was so impressed. It was just a great all-around game for Josh Richardson.
The comfort level is certainly there. Like, you and I had talked about a number of times during the preseason how much better he looked, and then all of a sudden the season started and that rhythm wasn't there, unfortunately, and it kind of made us look like fools, to be 100% honest with you. But we expected him to kind of make this star leap here, and we don't want to jinx it, but at the same time, certainly finding a rhythm there. I mean, it started with his defense, but it's coming around now to his offense where the shot is there. He's making an impact clearly. And, you know, doing all the little things that help, you know, like you said, make those winning plays and lead to the success of his teammates and the team in general. You know, just his versatility is such a huge factor for Miami because he can switch to a number of players. He can use his superior length to block shots, to disrupt passing lanes.
That defense is really impressive tonight. Really impressive.
Very good stuff.
Well, I'll have another show tomorrow. Be sure to download the Draft app and look for our draft room for Wednesday night's slate of games. We'll be tweeting that link out in the morning from the Locked On Heat Twitter account. So if you want to play with us in our fantasy basketball league for tomorrow night's games, just download the draft app and look out for that link that we will be tweeting in the morning. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions for next week and inquire about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.